You're tuned to The Record from KUOW Seattle with David Hyde. I'm Steve Scher. In her novel, A Tale for the Time Being, Ruth Ozeki explores the multiple ways we touch each other across time and space with fact and fiction, all to help us get a sense of ourselves. Ruth Ozeki joins us in our studios. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, Steve.
Did you like the way I read that title?
I did, very much.
Because A Tale for the Time Being as well, right?
That's right. It could be both. It's a very funny phrase. It's kind of unstable.
What is a time being? You describe it right at the beginning.
Well, a time being is someone who lives in time, and that could be you or me or anyone else who is or was or ever has been.
Or now, is that how you say it?
Or now, yes. The now is the young 16-year-old girl who is investigating this phrase. She's writing about it in her diary, and she's a troubled girl living in Tokyo, and she's decided that really, in a way, she's going to use the diary as a kind of a lifeline. So she's writing in the diary and casts it out into the world, and it washes up on the beach in British Columbia.
She's lived in California for years, but she's back in Japan, and her classmates ostracize her for not being Japanese enough?
Yeah, she has grown up in the U.S. in Sunnyvale, California. She thinks of herself as an American girl, and she doesn't speak, I mean, she speaks Japanese, but not perhaps as fluently as her classmates, and she doesn't really have the cultural, you know, cues, and she also doesn't have money to buy nice stuff, so she's being bullied.
Yeah. Identities, feelings, time itself, richly stacked, one moment nestled into the next in Ruth Ozeki's book, A Tale for the Time Being, shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize in 2013. So the Hello Kitty lunchbox washes up on the shore in Canada, and Ruth encounters that. Who is Ruth?
Good question. Something I ask myself every day. The character Ruth in the novel is a novelist who is living on a remote island in Desolation Sound, British Columbia. She is having a kind of a struggle with writer's block. She's trying to write a memoir, and she finds this diary washed up on the beach and becomes obsessed with it. And this is, of course, in the wake of the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And so she becomes obsessed with this diary. She starts to read it and is determined to trace the whereabouts and learn the fate of this young girl now who has written the diary.
And annotating the whole time with her musings on Pacific gyres and quantum mechanics and everything else.
Ruth is a bit of a nerd.
Well, Ruth and her husband.
Ruth, her husband is even a bigger nerd, yes.
My Year of Meats was Ruth Ozeki's previous novel, explored the industrial beef system, and in her second, All of Her Creation, explored potatoes and genetic engineering. Her film, Halving the Bones, traced 100 years of Ruth's maternal family history from Japan to Hawaii to a suburb in Connecticut. She's also worked as an art director on a film called Robot Holocaust. And you're the first ordained Zen Buddhist priest to be nominated for the Man Booker Prize.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That's a Guinness Book of World Records.
I think that must be. But then my question to them was, has there ever been any priest nominated for the Man Booker Prize? And nobody's been able to answer that.
Well, that's very interesting.
So I think they were being a little bit too specific there.
So I was thinking that the first two books and the movie were very specific and scientific in their approaches. And then this book emerges, and in between your exploration of Buddhism and Zen Buddhism became something that you embraced and became part of your life. Is this a Zen Buddhist book?
I think it is, in the sense that it was very much inspired by the Zen practice and also the reading that I was doing. I was reading the essays and the writing of a Zen 13th century Zen master named Dogen Zenji. And he had written an essay about time called Uji. And Uji can be translated as being time or time being or for the time being. So once again, many different translations there. And I was reading that, and the phrase kind of stuck in my mind. And the book really emerged from that, I think. It was an exploration of what it is to be a being with a time limit.
You wrote this really interesting essay, first on your weblog, because you wrote about a woman, Jacucho Satoshi.
That's right.
Novelist turned Buddhist nun.
Yeah.
A woman who'd had an interesting, amazing career as a young woman, and then she becomes a Buddhist nun when she's 50.
That's
right.
That's right. Yeah.
And you were curious about how writing was working for her.
Yes. Well, she made this interesting comment in response to a question. When she became ordained shaved her head and became a nun, she was really ready to give up writing. She decided that, that she was ready to give it up. But if she were to continue writing, she would need a backbone. And I thought that was just an interesting notion. What was it about her experience that made her think that she wanted to have that kind of grounding? And it was something that I felt too. I really, there was a stability that Zen practice, that I was finding from Zen practice that, I felt really contributed to the writing process as well. So it was something that it really, resonated when I read her interview. Yeah.
But not initially. You didn't find that stability. Is that right?
Well, it was, as anything, when you start something, it seems quite easy. And then you reach that middle period and things get kind of wobbly, because it kind of scrambles your relationship with the world, with the way that you've lived your life. And then, it starts to kind of settle again. And so there was an interim period there where I wasn't quite sure whether I would continue writing or not. And there were a lot of other things going on at the time, too. I was taking care of my mother who had Alzheimer's. And, anyone who takes care of somebody who has Alzheimer's starts to worry about the condition of their own mind, especially, I think, the children of people with Alzheimer's. There's inevitably a point where you start to, every time you lose your keys, you think, oh, my gosh, here it is. So there was a time where I really was struggling with that. And the Zen practice really helped me. The practice of meditation really helped me kind of settle and not run away from all of the fears that were emerging at the time when I was taking care of my mom.
You wrote in an essay in a Buddhist magazine, buddhadharma.com is where you linked me to it.
Yeah.
During this time, I brought up my writing woes. You were having these writing woes in a private meeting between student and teacher, and you recall making a joke of it, saying that the problems seemed to coincide with your Zen practice, and your teacher said, I was afraid that might happen. he also understood that the practices could disrupt your writing.
Yeah, I think that he I remember he said, yeah, you were such a nice writer. I was afraid this might happen. And I think he understood that, that there is this period where, when you embark on a new way of being, that you almost have to kind of dismantle who you were and become this other thing, become this new thing. And so it did actually require me to, think long and hard about the kind of writing that I had been doing and the kind of writing that I wanted to do in the future. So there was a period. Well, it's been 10 years since my last book, since Oliver Creation. And that's really what I've been doing in those 10 years.
Well, I love this phrase. I saw on the morning of my ordination, after my head was shaved, I looked in the mirror. I saw myself, there you are. Where have you been?
That's right. That's
who,
right.
Who did you see?
Well, I just, I looked in the mirror and there I was standing there with no hair. And it was like there was no place to hide. It was like the person that, that I have always been was there, but completely open and present and sort of fully present. And it was a very interesting sense of recognition. I don't think I've ever felt that before.
Ruth Ozeki's book is A Tale for the Time Being. You never felt that before. I mean, it's a new thing. Is that part of what made you sure that you could be both priest and writer?
Well, I'm still not sure that I can be both priest and writer.
Is that right?
Well, we'll see. One can never be sure about anything, right? You can't really know.
Well, there you are, you Zen priest, you. Yes, one can't be sure about anything. You want to pursue it, though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've always loved writing, and actually, for that matter, I've always also loved. I've been always curious about Zen ever since I was a very little kid. So, in a way, I feel that I've been exploring both sides of this question about what it is to be alive and, a person in the world. So,
well, you said this in this essay, talking about the Zen koan, for mountains were no longer mountains. Writing was no longer writing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't continue to write or to live in the old ways.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Runs through this book.
That's right.
It runs through this whole question of how you are, well, how Ruth is.
Yeah.
And so how about how you are as Ruth is, as now is? Because now also is a part of you, right? And,
yes,
and you were also somebody who dealt with being a bifurcated
yes.
person.
Yes. I mean, in a way, I think that all characters in a novel, all fictional characters, are, you know, in some way sort of emerge from aspects of the self. In a way, writing a novel is a kind of an exploration or an inquiry into what it is to, you know, to be in the world. And so the novel is kind of a fictional proposition, and you use it to investigate, you know, all of these different personas, these faces, these aspects, these ways of being.
Yeah. Yeah. You said in an old interview in Mother Jones, and you just said it again right now, that, I mean, it's all media.
It is. It is. Yeah.
In that right. in that sense of presentation and working with the presentation.
That's right. That's right. And it's a kind of, you know, you're creating, a bridge, too. I think, you know, media, that's what media does, too, is that it's a type of dialogue, isn't it? It's an interface, you know, to put it into kind of computer terms, you know, and that's kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I like the idea of a tale for the time being.
Yes. That's right.
Because we are in that time.
And it's only for now.
Are you going to still make movies too?
I made a book trailer.
Yes, I saw it.
Yeah.
On your webpage. You made that.
I made that. I didn't shoot it. A friend of mine, Bill Weaver, shot it. But it was fun. Oh my gosh, I had so much fun. It really made me want to make films again. So I don't know how I'm going to have time for all of this.
Well, you make time.
That's right.
Ruth Ozeki's novel is A Tale for the Time Being. I appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you so much.
This is The Record.